What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that went astray? And he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish.
I don't know if he wanted it announced or not. He can nod at me if he don't, but I'm kind of committed at this point. Norris is going through some tests as well. I'm not sure that we knew that when we went into the announcements, but remember Norris in your prayers this week. He's going through some tests. I think it'd be Thursday. They're looking at a couple possibilities just continue to remember him in your prayers. His white blood counts are high, and they're testing for a couple of things. So remember him this week. And, Norris, we love you, and we'll be praying for you. And you got a family here that supports you and loves you. People have problems. We all do. We talked about it this morning in our class, in the young adult class in the back, and we were talking about prayer, and we were talking about decision makings and the domino effect of our life. And one of the center focuses in our life needs to be prayer, that we're actively praying to God and we're communicating with God, because He will guide us and He will allow us to get through the problems in this life. One of the things I brought up to them this morning was I don't have all the answers, and neither does anyone else, I don't think, about why things happen to people while on this earth, that we have difficulties, that we have issues that come our way, and we have tragedy that gets into our life from time to time. But I can't answer why those things happen. Sometimes we can answer them. Sometimes we know because of decisions we made, places we're at, and things that we're doing, that bad things happen to us because of that. But sometimes we look and we think, yo, I don't know what caused this. You know, you can go down to children's hospitals, whether at Vanderbilt and St. Jude and different places like that, and you see the innocent children there and you wonder why. Why are children going through this? Why do bad things happen? But the one thing that we stressed, or I stressed this morning in the class and I pointed to, was that we have something as Christians that the world does not have. And it's not something that we take lightly. It's not something that we should say, oh, yeah, okay, I knew that. We had hope. What do we have? We have hope. We have hope of eternal life. We have hope of heaven. And we know that God will see us through whatever is in our life. And even at the most difficult and darkest days that we face, we can always fall back to that one word of hope. That no matter what happens to us while on this earth, as long as we're true, as long as we're faithful to God, and we're committed to living our life to God, that when we leave this earth on the darkest of our days, that we know what's waiting for us on the other side. And that's what we live for, and that is our desire. This weekend is a weekend that we call Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people think about Memorial Day weekend, and I think sometimes we may make light of it. We look at it and we think, well, it's a three-day weekend. It's another day off. It's a day that we can grill out, we can cook out, we can have our families over, and we can have a good time. Some people look at it, well, I get paid for being off on Monday. But what is Memorial Day? I've done a little homework this week, and I want to read to you a little bit of what I found this week. What is the history of Memorial Day? Memorial Day is an official holiday in the United States. It was observed on May the 30th until 1971. When for federal employees, the date was changed to the last Monday in May. It is also known as Decoration Day. The custom of placing flyers on graves of the war began on May the 5th of 1866 in Waterloo, New York. And Waterloo has been recognized by Congress as the official birthplace of Memorial Day. In 1868, General John Logan, then president of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared that May the 30th would be the day to decorate the graves of comrades with flyers who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion. After World War I, the day was set aside to honor all Americans who died in wars. Then custom was extended to pay tribute to deceased relatives, friends, both military and civilian. One article went on to say the most solemn ceremony conducted on Memorial Day is the placing of a wreath on the tomb of the unknown located in Arlington National Cemetery. I think there's three things that we think about when we think about Memorial Day, or at least we should think about. Why do we have Memorial Day? Why do we remember? Well, number one, we remember, or we have Memorial Day to mourn the loss. Number two, we have Memorial Day to remember the lives. And then number three, we have it because we're thankful for the sacrifice. Every American ought to think about this weekend and recognize this day and honor all those who have lost their life for our freedom. America, what it is today. Article says, free, strong, a nation worth fighting for. Because men have died for this country, we have the right to preach God's word freely. We have the right to live at peace in our own homes. We have the right to pursue peace, prosperity, and happiness. We need to thank God for those who have died to make us free. As we prepare our minds, not only for this weekend, but today as we come together to worship God, I think that we can see those three points and how they tie in to Memorial Day, to what we, each one of us, feel every time that we come here to worship God. Every time that we think about the opportunity that we have to come here and worship our Father in heaven, those three things has to play a part in our life as we remember the sacrifices, not only that was made by our countrymen as they served this country, but also the sacrifice that was made by our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that ties in so well together for each one of us. I don't want anyone, especially our young people, to ever take for granted the sacrifice that people make for our freedom. A few years back, I was privileged to be able to go and speak down here at the elementary school for Veterans Day. And one of the things I stressed to the young people there when I was standing in front of them, I talked a lot about jumping out of airplanes, and I had some young people come up front and put on a few little demonstrations for everybody else. But at the end of the program, at the end of the speech that I was making, I told all the young people there, you do not have to serve in the military to have respect for the flag. Learn to honor and respect the American flag and what it stands for and all the sacrifices that was made. And today, I encourage everyone here to honor and respect that flag, even though you may or may not have ever served. But then as we shift gears and we think about the Christian life and we think about God, is not a lot of that, does it not tie in with what we're saying as a Christian? The honor and respect that we need to have for God, the honor and the respect that we need to have for the time that's set aside every week when we come together to worship God, that we remember the life, that we remember the death, the loss that Jesus gave for us, and then we remember the sacrifice that was made, and it draws us closer to God each and every day of our life. It makes us stronger. It makes our faith stronger. It makes us have that desire that we want to come together, and we want to worship God. The text that was read for us in Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 through 14, talking about a sheep and talking about one being gone and how that someone would leave the 99 and go to the one and find that one and put him on his shoulders and bring him back. That the desire, the want, the need there is to keep everyone together and keep us close and to keep us safe. This last week, it was a difficult week for a lot of people, I'm sure, in different ways, and I don't know all the ways that it was difficult. But in particular, one person struggled this last week. They struggled in their life. They're struggling with their life. They're struggling to find their way. And I received a phone call this week at the last minute, and I was asked to respond to a situation. And to be honest with you, I did not want to, because I was scared. But I told them I would and that I was on the way. The whole time I drove from my house to the place that I was going, so many emotions was going through my mind. What am I going to find? What has happened? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? What can I do to help in some way? And that's as far as I'll go with that, but to say this, there is a person out there that needs our prayers, and they need our prayers because they're lost. And there's many people that fall in the category that I'm talking about right now. But the person that's in my mind right now, they're lost. They're wandering astray. They wandered off. And they realize that they're not where they need to be, but they're not willing to sacrifice at this point to come back to where they need to get. And I cried and I pleaded with this person, and I begged, please, please do something. Come back to God. Come back where you need to be. I will help you in any way possible. I will help you. I will hold your hand. I will pick you up. I will carry you. I will walk down the aisle with you. I will walk hand in hand with you until you get the strength that you need to stand on your own. And I literally said those words to this person, begging and pleading for them to come back to God. I don't know that they will. But I know that that night I told the young people in the back, I prayed for well over an hour that night on one subject, on one person, because they're lost. I could not help but think about this passage. Could not help but think about them when I was studying this lesson. What do you think if a man owns, it says, 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go and look for the one that's wandered off? Verse 13, and if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. Oh, what we need today more than anything is to build our faith. Everybody sitting in here this morning, we need to look at ourselves and we need to say, I am going to build my faith to the point that there's no way I ever wander off. I'm going to tell you something. If you're in Christ, you're right where you need to be. You don't need to get outside. You need to stay inside where it's safe. You need to stay on the inside of Christ because He is the Savior of His body, and we need and we want, and we've got to have a desire within ourselves that nothing's going to pull me out of this, because Satan is working so hard. He is after me and he's after you, and his desire, his hope, his want is somehow to make me fall down, make you fall down, and then snatch us and pull us outside of Christ and let us live in the world, then go back to having no hope. And I'm going to tell you, when you lose hope, it's bad. Your life will downward spiral to the very bottom, because you've got to be able to look up. You've got to look up and see where you're going in your life. I can't help but when I think about Hope, I can't help but think about Jay and the fight that he had at St. Jude. And every time they told us there's nothing else we can do, he would say, find something. I don't care what it is, you try some kind of medicine with me. Something's in the trial stages, I want to take it. He said, if it don't help me, it'll help someone else. But you know why Jay really done that? You know why he focused on that? Because he had to have hope. If you ever take the idea there's nothing else I can do, then people are going to lay down and they're going to die. So he had something in himself, a desire to live to the point that he said, Doc, you give me something to hold on to. I'm going to fight my fight, and I'm going to continue to fight as long as I can, but you paint me a picture. Y'all remember that painting a picture from Wednesday night? Y'all paint me a picture so I can see it. And folks, when I see that picture, I'm going to live for that. And that's going to be my fight each and every day of my life. Verse 14 of what David read for us, it says, in the same way your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these ones should be lost. You know, as we mourn the loss of Christ, we can't help but think that we're the guilty ones. His loss, I'm guilty for the loss that he faced. And I know that if there was only one sinner and that sinner was me, Christ would have still died. If all rest of y'all were perfect, and I was the bad apple, he would have died for me. So I carry a little guilt. I carry a little guilt inside myself because he had to die. He had to die because I wasn't perfect. Because of my sin, because of my decisions, because of my life, Jesus had to face that terrible death. And that's what should drive us. That's what should make us want to be a better Christian each and every day of our lives. I made the statement this last week. I said, people that's known to be a member of the church, if you're known to be a Christian and you're not living for Christ, then you're hurting God. If people know me to be a member of the church and I'm out here cussing or I'm out here drinking or I'm out here living in adultery or whatever the sin may be, if I'm not living my life for Christ, I'm not the example that I should be, then I'm hurting the church. I'm hurting God. And folks, that's our decision to make. God's not going to make us do right. He's going to give us the choice, and we choose whether or not we're going to live right, whether or not we're going to do right, whether or not we're going to be committed to him each and every day of our life. Part of the emotional healing process of grief is to remember the lives. I told y'all Wednesday night I met a man who lost a daughter to cancer, and she was a patient at St. Jude, and he still struggles today, and actually she's been gone since 1995 or 6, I believe what he told me. And he said, it still hurts me every day. It hurts me every day. It hadn't got easier. And we talked about that. And part of grieving is remembering. I sat and listened to him talk for some time, and he told me how beautiful his little girl was. And how that she was 8-year-old when she got cancer and she died when she was 9. And he painted the prettiest picture of his daughter. And I just sat there in awe when he was telling me with a smile on my face when he talked about how great she was and all the things she accomplished in what few years she was and how beautiful she was. And then he ended it by telling me how she went down that last year. But I told him when he got done, I said, remember the first 8 years. Remember the good. Remember what she looked like at her very best. And that's what you focus on. Here's some quotes that's found on tombstones today. and remembering the lives of people before us, gone so soon. Dear parents, though we will miss you, we know you rest with God, safe in the arms of Jesus, faithful unto death, gone for not, but not forgotten. Go, Spirit, go thy way, at rest, asleep in Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Life's work well done, she rests in peace. All of these messages tell us a little bit about who's buried underneath that tombstone, underneath that rock. And that's part of the remembering. That as we think back and we remember of our loved ones, we remember our family, we remember our church family, those who have gone on, we can all smile at different things when we think back about them. Done a wedding last night, and one of the ways they got me was that y'all remember Pat Argo, and Pat and I were pretty close, and we cut up and had a friendly relationship with each other. And I was asked to do the wedding, and I said, oh, now, y'all get somebody to this, that, and the other. And how Stacy got me was, you wouldn't say that if Pat was here. I said, yeah, you're right. If Pat was here, she'd make you do this wedding. I said, well, you're not making me do it. I'm honored that you ask. But see, they went back to, and they knew the relationship I had with Pat, and they pulled that back into it. We all laughed, and we all smiled, and we hugged, and I went on. I done the wedding. I was honored. I'm thankful that they asked me. But the point I'm trying to make is we look back at friendships, we look back at love that we have, and we can find happiness there, can't we? As we think back of our parents and our grandparents, our husband, our wife, our children, whoever it may be, we can find happiness there. How do we find happiness? It's because of the hope that we have. The hope of what's to come. The hope of where we want to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Talking about the Lord's Supper, and it's talking about remembering. And as we tie these two together, as we're getting ready to close this lesson, I think that this gives us a good illustration. Starting in verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Remembering Jesus. We have an opportunity every first day of the week that we come together. We have an opportunity to remember the sacrifice that was made. Sacrificing, it's been a lot done over the years for me. It's been a lot of sacrifice made for you. Found an illustration that said, it was a few weeks before Christmas in 1917. The beautiful snowy landscape of Europe were blackened by war. The trenches on one side held the Germans, and on the other side, the trenches were filled with Americans. It was World War I. The exchange of gunshots was intense. Separating them was a very narrow strip of no man's land. A young German soldier attempting to cross that no man's land had been shot and become entangled in barbed wire. He cried out in anguish. Then the pain, he continued to whimper. Between the shells, all the Americans in the sector could hear him scream. When one American soldier could stand it no longer, he crawled to the German soldier. When the Americans realized what he was doing, they stopped firing. But the Germans continued. Then a German officer realized what the young American was doing, and he ordered his men to cease firing. Now there was a weird silence across the no man's land. On his stomach, the American made his way to that German soldier and de-entangled him. He stood up with the German in his arms, walked straight to the German trenches, and placed him in the waiting arms of his comrades. Having done so, he turned and started back to the American trenches. Suddenly, there was a hand on his shoulder that spun him around. There stood a German officer who had won the Iron Cross, the highest German honor for bravery. He jerked it off his own uniform and placed it on the American. He walked back to the American trenches. Only when he was safely in the trenches did they resume the war and the shooting. The German soldier was thankful for the American soldier's sacrifice. I believe we all got it in us. I believe most everybody has it in us of wanting to do the right thing, of wanting to sacrifice to make a difference in other people's lives. Yes, today and tomorrow and this weekend, we're going to mourn the loss. We're going to remember the lives, and we're going to be thankful for the sacrifice. All the acts over the history of the world, we can look back and say, that's what got me to where I am today. But there's no greater sacrifice, no greater life than the life of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made to put us where we're at today. And I hope you're where you need to be. If you're not, then we're about to sing a song of encouragement, an invitation song, if you will. If you hear and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to turn away from sin, the Bible says we have to repent of our sins. We have to decide that I'm not going to live for the world and I want to live for Christ. We need to turn away from the worldly ways and start living for Christ. Earlier in this sermon, I said, find yourself inside Christ because that's where safety is. Folks, we can't have sin with us. We've got to get rid of it, and that's repenting of it. Are you willing this morning? Can you answer this question? It's as simple or as complex as this, however you want to word it. It's as simple as me saying, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And you saying, yes, I do. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But it's something more complicated than that because we carry it back to our heart and we carry it to our life and we confess Jesus by the way that we live. If you're willing to do those things, and today you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can meet the blood of Jesus today, and you can have all your sins washed away if you truly repent of them. Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with sin. You have things in your life. You find yourself to be outside of Christ. Come back home. Come back home. It's just like the man that went looking for the one sheep. If you're standing there today and you're scared to walk down that aisle, whoever you're standing with, tell them to come on. They walk with me. Help me. Hold me up. And if you're by yourself, then wave at me and I'll walk back to you. I'll walk back to you and I'll put my arm around you and we'll walk down the aisle together. But I'm going to tell you, we all need prayers at the church. We all have things in our life that we're not proud of. But when we have it and it's public and we're hurting the church, we're hurting God, then get it out of your life. Find the strength today to walk forward saying, I need help and I need God, and pray with me and for me that I can be a better person, that I can be a better Christian, that I can wear Christ's name, that I can influence people to God. You know, that's what we want. Every one of us in here, we should want the same thing. When we leave this building today, who can I impact? Who can I influence? Who can I get to come to Jesus? Because without Jesus, people are lost. We don't need to play like we're Christians. We need to be Christians. We don't need to talk about living the right life. We need to live the right life. We need to live where other people can look at me or look at Nick or look at whomever we're talking about and say, that is something different about that person. And I'm going to end with how I started. There's one word. That's the difference. You remember what my word was? Hope. Hope is the difference. Without Jesus, you have no hope. If you need Jesus this morning, come while we stand and sing.